Carolina, and I can't remember what town he's in exactly, but he's in a radio club that's really active, and they're actually really cool. And I'll contact him and ask him what the name of his club is, and I think you should try to hook up with them.
That's one good thing I like to do. Like I say, talking to different people and getting other people's opinion, you know, of course, ultimately it's going to be my opinion, what I want or what I want to do, but, you know, talking to everybody and finding out what goods and bads and everybody has, you know, kind of means a lot. But I'm also the type of person, if I see the reviews online about this radio, I really got to read it and all, you know, just like you said earlier, just because you can't program it don't mean it's a bad product. It just means that you didn't understand it, for sure.
With the FM rigs in particular, that seems to be the case. I can't tell you the number of reviews I've seen of, like the 2300. Like, oh my goodness, it's impossible to program. No, it's not. It's retarded easy, but you just have to have a clue.
You know, I like the reviews, but, you know, I really weigh the reviews different than everybody else. You know, a lot of people says, oh, that thing's got a bad review. And I was like, well, really read the reviews. You know, if somebody just says, hey, this thing sucks because it don't do this, this, and this, and, you know, is it really human factor or is it actually the product factor of it? So I kind of, just because it got a bad review, I don't think it's a bad product sometimes.
WCA. I'm going to take a very short break. I'll be right back. WCA. NR. NRKI4 WCA returning. Yeah, you know, the club that I joined, I'm not going to say which one it was, it doesn't matter really, it was okay. You know, it was only okay. But I know that there are clubs that are really, really all about helping new guys get on the air. And the one in South Carolina, I know an officer of, they actually have HF equipment they could let you use, man.
Ooh, I mean, I'm definitely interested to know what club that is.
By leaps and bounds, because they're very, you know, cool and all that stuff. It's interesting, you know, if you get to know some guys that are older, you'd be surprised. There are a lot of guys that have tons and tons of equipment just cluttering their shacks, and you might be amazed to find somebody just like, here you go, kid, try this, you know, and they'll hand you a rig to use.
I talked to a guy named Jack. He's up in Six Mile, and he's an older gentleman, been in it for a long time, and he's one of the guys that offered me to come up to his shack and play around with all his stuff and all, and I haven't got with him yet, but I'm definitely going to go up there and talk to him and sit down with him for a couple of hours and play around.
What I can give you is go visit him immediately. Don't put it off, man. Make it a priority to go to his shack and try out his stuff and see what you think.
Pretty soon I'm going to go. I work full-time up here, and then I own my own business outside of here, so I pretty much work every day, other than Sundays. I try not to work on Sundays, but, you know, as soon as I get done with some of this stuff, and I'm definitely going to go see him.
He's a fellow ham, and he's a little bit younger than my father, but not much. He's a very nice guy, and it was funny, because we would only talk, really, once a year at our local ham fest. I'd see him there, and we'd talk about all sorts of crazy esoteric stuff. He's very technical and into amplifier design stuff and all. And he's fantastic. I just like talking to him. We clicked. We hit it off. Very cool guy. And he'd invited me years ago to come. He's like, come to my place. You know, I've got all sorts of junk you can have. You know, I'm like, I didn't know where he lived, and turns out he lives like 3 miles away. He's really close. And because of COVID, they canceled the ham fest and everything. And so I get this message and email. It's like, hi, this is so-and-so, you know, and wonder how you're doing. I'm like, I'm doing great. You know, give me a call. And so we talked on the phone. And, you know, he's my best friend now, and so as a result of that, he's been just wonderful to me, and he's such a treasure as a friend. So if somebody says it's okay for you to stop by, trust me, you never know what's going to happen.
Go to one of my hand tests, which I'm thinking about going down to Bakersfield, Leeville in the morning. Never been to one, so I heard they having one, so I figured I might go down there in the morning when I get off work.
Out and see what they have for sale. I've seen some really good equipment for sale at real fire sale prices. I've also seen stuff that was really junky for sale at really high prices. So you never know what you're going to get, but getting there earlier is better than getting there later for sure.
We done net check-in down in Greenwood, and one of the guys got on there, I guess is going to be there. I don't know who he was, but he said the first four people that comes up and greets him, he's going to give them a brand new dual-band antenna.
Well, I mean, hamfests are really cool. I have never won anything at a hamfest I've gone to, but I have found cool parts and components I couldn't get anywhere else, and I paid cash for them and then took them right home, which was even better than Amazon.
Give me a couple people have been telling me I need to get me one of those, the older ham books that tells you about antennas and stuff, and that's one thing I'd like to find and all, is actually a whole ham operation book, one of the older ones.
Yourself an ARRL antenna handbook. It's the antenna handbook if you want to build antennas. Those are wonderful. I have a couple of them. One is from 1955, which is comically small, and then I have a later one, which is quite a bit bigger. But the latest one is just ridiculously huge and expensive. Also, every ham should have an amateur radio handbook, which is more general, but it covers all sorts of cool stuff, like building amplifiers and receivers, and it includes antennas. It has everything in it. In fact, that's how I learned electronics, was reading my father's 1955 radio amateur handbook. And then every year for Christmas, for quite a few years, I got a new one every Christmas.
Well, I kind of wish I'd have gotten in this a lot longer, earlier, I guess you can say. I've been saying it for years, I was going to do it, and finally done it, you know, back in March, and wish I'd have done a lot sooner than this, for sure.
I'm old enough that because I was a geek as a kid and was really into electronics, I would take old TV sets apart and I would build pirate radio transmitters and do all sorts of horrible crimes with the components. But the thing is, that's the same exact sort of thing that amateur radio operators were doing at that time. They would take apart TV receivers and build legal for them transmitters and go to town. And so it's kind of sad today that components are so small. Like in this radio I'm talking on now, I can't service this radio. I don't have the proper tools to do it. It uses very tiny surface mount components. There are some things I could change in it, but most of it I really don't have the tooling to do. But when I was a boy, the components were bigger, and you could build stuff at will and go totally nuts. And I did that a lot, and that's how I learned electronics, and I got the schematic diagrams and stuff on how to do it out of the amateur radio handbook.
You know, pretty cool with that, that's for sure.
It's transformed more into, you'll hear the term appliance operator. You know, I bought this radio, I plugged it in, it worked, you know. And that actually is a fair observation. Lots of people are. But the truth is, can I build a radio as good as my ICOM 7410? Theoretically, I could, but it would be much larger. It would cost much more money. And really, no. No, I can't. I can't build anything that good. It's impossible. And it certainly wouldn't even fit on a shelf in my shack, like the 7410 does. It also has the same issue with, like, tiny microscopic components, lots of them. Like, if I blow up the final transistors in it, could I replace them? Yes, I can do that, but I really can't do much else. Seriously, it's very difficult to work on the new stuff.
I grew up working on cars and stuff and doing a lot of things like that, and about any old vehicle I could work on, but it's just like a new car. It's too much new stuff on it that it's hard to work on it without a different computer system now.
One of the things I bought was, I have a scanner for the car. So I can plug the scanner in and it'll tell me what sensor is bad.
I got several of those for sure.
It's not that hard to work on new cars, but you have to buy the tool. That's the penalty.
It gives you a generic message like, you know, P226 is bad, and you're like, what the world is that, you know?
Well, it's for, I mean, actually, Google is pure evil, but it's actually good for stuff like that.
Google could be your friend, for sure, and then some things on there could be crazy, but, you know, it's, I definitely search the web on a lot of things and do a lot of research on it, for sure.
What are you using now? Does it have a cooling fan?
It's one in the back of it, and, this radio is very small. It's about the size of your hand. It's not real big at all. Has a speaker on top of it, and it's very loud, for sure. I barely have the volume turned up, and I like it. It works really well.
So they're really interesting. How much did that radio cost?
Off Amazon, and some days you can catch it about $65, and I've seen it up to $89, almost $90. I guess the supply and demand went up, but it's only like 60, 70 bucks. It's dual band.
That's awesome.
The 8900D, and I really like it. The review says that people didn't like it because some of the knobs fall off, which, like I say, I take this in and out of my work truck, put it in my car, and the volume knob has come off once. I mean, it's never, it's not as bad as everybody says it is. And I have not had a problem with this radio yet.
They're fairly impressive, and they're really, really impressive for the price. Your radio costs way less than my ICOM handheld, for example.
Like I say, I bought this thing just to get into it and see if I like it. And I stick a lot of money in it. It's kind of hard for me to get away from it because it does so well. I mean, it'll hold 200 channels. You know, it's dual band. It's got a high and low. And I mean, it does really well. It's only like 25 watts. I'm not sure if it even pushing 25 watts, but it says it'll do 25 watts.
It's consistent across the Chinese radios is their power claims always are a bit on the optimistic side. When you look at the Japanese stuff, they tend to be conservative. That being said, the amount of money you paid, it sounds like an absolute screaming bargain for sure.
But I wanted something small, and that's kind of what sold me on it. It's kind of small and something to start with, and I can plug it into a cigarette lighter because I'm not working out of my vehicle. It's the company truck, and I just wanted something to sit here in the truck and play with it, and because I can't mount it, it's just sitting in a compartment right in front of my cup holders, and it don't overheat or anything like that. It runs really well.
Is it hard to program?
The cable and all, and you just download Chirp, and you know, you pretty much get Chirp has the repeater books and stuff in it, and you search through repeater book for each county or each state, and you know, it takes a couple seconds to write it to it, and you can change it out several times.
Program it manually? Like, if you're in the car and somebody says, try this machine, can you, like, enter it easily or not?
So I've done it one time. It's not, what you say, easy, because when you go to put it in and all, for instance, I had a guy tell me the other day, and I put it in there, And every time I put it in, it took the tone away and the negative shift away. And come to find out, you have to swap it off talking mode to the programming mode. And once you put it over there, save it, which to me is crazy. It shouldn't let you put it in at all in regular mode if it's not going to save it.
One of those bugs that once you know about it, it's not a problem, right?
I mean, like I said, I've done it one time. I mean, it's not hard. It'd probably take me a little bit to do it again if I had to. But I probably got 60, 70 repeaters in there right now, and it does good.
I certainly understand if you're new to the hobby, or actually new to the amateur radio service, because it actually is a service, not wanting to spend a ton of money. I understand that completely, and certainly when I started, I actually had to sell a piece of equipment to buy my first radio, my 2200.
I definitely agree with that, and I like it. I'd like to buy a better radio for sure, and which I took the same radio and hooked it up to my GP6 antenna at the house today, and like I said, I got on it and keyed up to this repeater we're talking on now, and the guy said it come in really good. I had a little bit of white noise on it, but it was able to do 75 miles, you know, with what little wattage it is.
Well, I'm glad you're happy with it, and I hope the new rig serves you well also.
Like I say, it's not a really expensive radio either, and the other gentleman had the exact same one I ordered. I think it's like $215, and it sounds like it does really well. I just wanted something to put in my house, get going, and later on I'm probably gonna buy some better radios. But I didn't want to spend a whole lot of money in 2 and 70 meters. That way I could save some money going towards you know, an HF rig later for sure.
Any two-band stuff for VHF and UHF until I'd already had HF rigs for a while.
I realize you can have a really expensive radio and a crappy antenna, and it'd be just as good as a really, I mean, you don't get out at all. You know, the antenna's the biggest portion of it all. If you don't have a good antenna, it don't matter what you got, it's not going to work.
The most important part of the shack, it really is. The antenna feed line system is like the thing. If your feed line and antenna are poor, you're not going to get out. You have to have that like top notch, and then choose the radio you can actually afford to buy.
I got a Comet GP1 at the house, and it works really good on the local repeaters. But after I started doing more research and I wanted to get the antenna up a lot higher, I was like, you know, I went out and bought that GP6 Comet, and I seen the GP9, but a lot of people said the GP6 outperforms the GP9 sometimes, so I kind of went towards the GP6, and as far, I like it. Like I said, I'll hopefully get that other radio in, and it'd have a little bit more power and all, and I could probably get out a little farther with it.
Great antennas, but I did read reviews where the internal elements broke from swaying in the wind after they'd been up for a long time.
KW4TW. Yeah, I had a GP9 Comet. It was a really good antenna, and I'd gone through probably about 2 when I first got my ticket, and I had really good service out of mine. I had a friend of mine that really wanted it, so I took it down because I actually had a set of co-phased 2-meter beams that I was using, and then another all-directional 2-meter 440 that I was using. But it worked great for him. It worked great for me. And I think now them things are roughly about $200, if I'm not mistaken. Good morning to you, KW4TW.
KW4TW, KW4TW, KI4WCA. Pleasure to work you again, old man.
I'm on the air, my friend. Sure is. I hope everything is going well for you up here in Asheville.
Oh, yeah, man. I've been crushing it on HF this season. I was telling this the station I'm working my adventures with my 90-foot piece of wire working deep in the Eastern Europe on HF. I've had more fun this season than ever before.
News there. Glad to hear it. I just put the finishing touches on a microphone, and now I'm going to go test this little booger. I already know it works because my kung fu is tight. but I did want to say good morning to you. I know down this way, it's been pretty quiet for the most part. I'm not sure if you ever worked KI4JSM. A lot of times he'd be on the 147-120 machine. He passed away yesterday. Our friend Alan has gone silent key, and you might remember him from if you ever listened to his weather stuff on the Blue Ridge Weather Watch.
That's sad news. Thanks for telling me.
And I know it is sad news, but I've known that man since I was probably about 13 years old, and I'm bumping 50 now. So, known him a long time. Back when I known him back in the day when people were using sweep tubes. KW4TW.
They're so affordable. Oh, but not anymore.
I need me a rack of 6LQ6s or 6MJ6s. 6MJ6s. I got some old boat anchors.
Over to the Russian tubes for sure.
Q6. If I can find some, 23 6LQ6s, because I got four. Each champ uses four tubes. But one of them is one of the old Firebird 500s, and the other is a DNA Raider. I actually thought about changing some stuff over in those, but I don't know. I don't know if it's worth the aggravation. All right. You and the other gentleman there, y'all get back together. I didn't mean to bust anything up. I just wanted to key down and say hello. K14W, Michael Gastonia.
Michael and Gastonia, it really is a pleasure to hear you again. Please join us. Please join us for sure.
NNR, yeah, you're not bothering us. Come on back with it. I'm just sitting back listening for sure.
I was kind of listening to you guys and sitting over here piddling. That's what I call it, piddling. And, I've enjoyed y'all's conversation tonight. I really have.
Like I tell him, I'm a kind of a newbie at this, and having good people to talk to, it makes it a fun night for sure.
I'm not an expert or anything, but I am a real hardcore geek, and I've been into this sort of stuff since I was a kid, so I know a lot, but I'm not like the master either.
I make it sound like a $1,000 rig, and if you've got a good antenna, but if you've got a $2,000 or $10,000 rig and a cruddy antenna, it won't help you a bit. I got to tell you something, too, and I've always said this. Amateur radio is a hobby and a service. I got into it as a hobby. It's also a service. You augment other people's communications, whether it's overseas or fire rescue, police, crowd control, or parades, or what have you. You know, there's all kinds of stuff there. One of my biggest concerns in my area is I don't think amateur radio operators are going to have the opportunity to provide that service as much, considering how all of our local government, police, fire, EMS, and such has gone to digital, you know, and that kind of thing. I was in California when they started taking down repeaters and trying to get rid of amateur radio here in October 2019. I was out there then. But I was really concerned about some of this stuff. Later, it all made sense.
California is right now.
Local fire, EMS, and law enforcement most of my life, and what's amazing to me is I can talk on this little cheap radio farther and a lot better than most of your local fire and EMS law enforcement radios.
And Harper? What end of it is that you're in, if it's police, fire, or EMT, but police, as far as police go, don't they have Viper? Viper's been here for a number of years.
I've been out of law enforcement for about 9 years now. I still do local fire and EMS, but we all on 800s now. Cadillac 800 took over all the emergency services now, and I do not like them because, especially in the fire service, if you go into a metal building like Walmart, I can't talk to my truck outside sometimes.
That's true. That's the bad thing about the, what is it, 770-something odd megahertz? 850-something, what is it, 856, 860, something like that. It's the 400 megahertz band did a lot better for them, in my opinion. Dead spots and all this, that, and the other. You have to have more repeaters and all this, that, and the other. It's something totally different.
I live in Greenwood County. I'm up in Greenville now, near Dawson Airport, of course, on mobile. But in Greenwood County, they pretty much done away with all VHF and UHF for any emergency service now. It's all Palmetto 800.
That other VHF, UHF stuff as a backup to augment the communications and use the digital, like, for other special purposes, you know, like some of the stuff that went on during 2020. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about there.
100%, and we, as the fire department I'm with, we tried to fight it 100%, but 911 dispatch says no longer have it anymore, and they pretty much ran the ban and pretty much done away with it, which is crazy, in my opinion.
Billions of dollars into this stuff, and your taxpayers, your citizenry is the ones that are having to foot the bill for it. Increased property taxes and such as that. That's where folks are going to kind of feel it at. But let's see here. I better behave myself. I better behave. KW4TW.
GW, I think they should switch everything to 3 gigahertz. Yeah, that's the ticket.
They could save a whole lot of money by switching the Geico and just use Zillow.
That's great. That is great.
People would learn. In New York City, they reported a long time ago when they switched to the 800 megahertz range that they were useless in skyscrapers and various types of buildings. But did everyone adapt to it? Yes. Yes, they did. Why? Because money. They did it because of money.
Say that, because It seems like it costs a lot more money for the 800s because you got to pay for each radio and then you got to pay a monthly fee to use each radio, and it's always constantly money coming out of it, and they do not work really well in the fire service at all.
No, they're actually horrible for that, and that's what I meant. It's all about the kickbacks, man.
They're not as also dependent upon the type of terrain that you're in and whatever your environment is. That environment includes, but is not limited to, buildings, structures of that like, concrete buildings, steel, metal fab buildings, interior of metallic trailers. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Mountains, hills, valleys. Guys, the list goes on and on.
My 800 radio for the fire service now does not work in my house unless I put it in the base charger, and then I can hear and talk out of it until I walk outside.
Yeah, I've heard that kind of complaint before about the radio's not working, like on a fire scene or something of that like, or you're not able to communicate. And that's actually come from, I want to say, someone that had something to do with the fire department. But something else that kind of concerns me is when your local government, your police force, are allowed to hide their communications. I've been listening to this police scanner since I was 15 years old. And I know I could always tell who the rookies were.
I was going to say that whenever I hear departments going encryption department-wide, I can only conclude it's a criminal organization. And I know it sounds judgmental and harsh, but that's my position now.
Well, I'm only in the fire and EMS now part of it, and the sheriff's department in Greenwood is pretty much encrypted where we can't even hear them now for sure.
County, and they encrypt everything, which is, Buncombe County, welcome to corruption. Comically, the city of Asheville, totally not encrypted. They are P25, so you have to have a digital scanner, but, yeah, I can listen to them.
Buncombe County in late 90s, early 2000s. I actually worked for the Office of Juvenile Justice back then, Department of Corrections.
Well, we have a tradition of having sheriffs that might be just a little bit out of control.
With that,
around 2012, Terrible Police Department had a stolen goods ring going through Terrible, and they were basically kind of looking out for 18-wheelers and such that were hauling stolen merchandise, stolen goods, and other CMVs. But you ain't heard that from me, because I ain't one of the guys.
I mean, yeah, you know, some things are not new under the sun. It just goes on and on. It's ridiculous.
You're talking about Advil, Kenny.
No, and all this stuff is published. You can Google this stuff, look it up on the internet, and find the stuff. As a matter of fact, Gaston County Police Department took them over for a while and fired every officer there was, is what I was told. But, you know, this happened a number of years back, and I've been asleep a number of times since then, so I might be forgetting some stuff. But I got to tell you guys, oh, gosh, how about that federal government? Boy, don't that corruption run deep.
Glorious leader Zaydan.
I gotta tell you, I've got some pictures over here I've got to hang on the wall. You know, they're not gonna hang themselves. Maxwell Epstein or any of them anymore, have you?
Talking about, I've never heard those names before. And if I did, I've forgotten because my attention span is 2 minutes.
You ask like a good little sheeple?
Always. I wear it all the time. That's why my audio is not so good tonight.
A microphone, it should be okay. It doesn't feel sick.
Beef with it.
What's happening in Ukraine on a serious note? That shit is out of control.
off. What's going on in Ukraine? I have the strongest feeling I might have heard something about it, but I can't remember now what it is. But I know it can't be good.
Russia's going to invade it. You can't believe the assets they've moved in place. It's out of control. It's actually interesting to see war unfold in the age of the internet, because all these Russians are like taking videos of trains carrying tanks and artillery right to Ukraine.
The buildup going on over there, is that what you're telling me? That sounds like something that I might have heard or something like that. Don't watch local news, man. Tune in to BBC.
I only use the dark web and other weird sources. No, they're moving enormous amounts of material, and Russia's going to invade. It'll happen within like the next within the next 10 to 20 days at the most.
I don't even watch TV at all anymore, because you don't know what to believe and not to believe.
Be in a couple of decades, but trust me when I tell you, Russia is invading Ukraine. And I'm not sure if they're going to take it all the way to the Dnieper River or if they're going to take the whole damn thing. They're out of control, no kidding.
But as far as the news goes, I hadn't fooled with any of that. I did the other day when we had that shooting in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Y'all both walked on each other.
Right, go ahead. KW4TW.
Russia is invading Ukraine. That's not in doubt. And tell me about the shooting in Rock Hill. I don't know about that.
There's a man that was working over at... Okay, there was two men that worked for Gas on Your Sheet Metal. Was working over at a doctor's house. In the house was, of course, the doctor, his wife, and his two grandchildren, age 9 and 5. A neighbor had apparently come over to their home, shot both of the GSM guys, that's Gas on Your Sheet Metal, killing one, injuring the other. He's in critical condition at the hospital. The doctor, his wife, and his two grandchildren, age 9 and 5, were both killed by a former NFL player. Also, they are going to do an autopsy on the NFL football player, former NFL football player, for CTE. I guess that has to do with concussions and being hit and, you know, brain anomalies there. But they're going to be looking at his brain now. The victims were all white. The perpetrator of this crime, who committed suicide in his own home, he was a black male, if that matters.
Well, yeah, mark me like really surprised that happened. God help us all.
It was a .45 that was used, a .45 caliber handgun. Now here's the thing: any type of gun violence is going to be hyperbole by the media. There are going to be calls for gun control because of this. Biden has already jumped on that train. Bank on it. Anytime there's gun violence, all you're going to hear is, we need gun control. We don't need gun control. Guns aren't the problem. We have a people problem, not a gun problem.
Sure.
Amen, brother. That's the truth.
Eventually, the people's going to stand up and say something.
I'm not sure I caught all that.
Because we're allowing the government to do this, and eventually the people's going to have to stand up and, you know, stop taking it for sure.
Oh, it's there. There's a lot of more truth in what you say. But as I roll back over 2020 and I see everything that happened during 2020, I just don't know that people will do that. I just don't think they will.
The problem, I'm pretty sure that 90% of people will not do it anymore because, you know, they roll out tests and we failed miserably. We bent over backwards and applied with everything they wanted us to do.
People that at some point will become absolutely apocalyptically bad to the encroachments on our freedoms and liberties and will react in the correct way. But again, I'm probably being optimistic there based on the way I'm seeing people react currently.
Well, the people that follow the laws are your law-abiding citizens. That's the thing. It's against the law to do this. It's against the law to do that. So they're not going to do that. Because why? They're law-abiding citizens. You know, my dad once told me that a lock will on a door will only keep an honest man safe. The lock on a door will keep an honest man honest, I should say. That's what it was. And basically it took me a bit, and I asked Dad, you know, why do you mean they keep an honest man honest? Because if a crook will find a way to get into it, and they'll steal your stuff. And sadly, you know, that's kind of what had happened there. But it's one of them things.
It's obvious, but no one wants to talk about it.
Here's the thing. Are there multiple solutions? The thing is to find the best solution to that problem. And that's where you run into another problem, is what solution do we use? Because we don't live in an objective society anymore. We live in a subjective society where people are no longer logical in thought and deed. Rather, they tend to be more guided by their feelings and emotions.
It does not change the solution. The solution's the same. And it's not attractive. And I think the hesitation to embrace it is what they mistake as weakness.
If someone's saying, F the police, or flipping a police officer off and spitting in their face and that kind of thing, guess what? You're not living in an oppressed society. You're not the oppressed.
Currently, we're watching anarcho-tyranny play out, which is an ugly, ugly thing. And it will get to the point where we'll have the, the equivalent of the German Free Corps. And that's not attractive. And lots of people know this, and they don't want to go there, but I'm sorry to report that might be coming.
Well, I tell you what, if you stop and you look how many times over the course of the past, say, year and a half, or we'll call it almost year and a half, did you hear about someone calling the police on a family or a group of people for either not wearing a mask, gathering at their homes, gathering somewhere in general? Next thing you know, someone's dropping a dime on them. Police roll up. Yeah. That's a Nazi right there. It's people like that that killed Anne Frank.
Neighbors.
That's why I'm seeking to move to a more rural area.
Rural area. I wish I was a little bit deeper in the rural area for sure.
My ideal place would be to go somewhere, dig me out a place in a forest, surrounded all by trees, where you would not even know a house was there on the highway or road or whatever. You wouldn't even know it's there. And that's my kind of ideal place. It would be nice if it was up on a mountain, you know, where it had a little bit of elevation, where there's some good propagation. You know, just saying.
In the middle of 20 acres, KI4WCA for ID.
For NNR, I want more like 100 to 150 acres.
Maybe 20, 5, or let's see, what was it, 5, 15, 20, 40, even 80 acres. Maybe have enough room to even hunt on. Thought about that. But see, here's the thing, guys, I'm not a hunter. I don't hunt. I fish, but now, yeah, I'll eat Bambi.
I'm not a hunter either, but that's because I really prefer cow.
Thing about cows, see, I love me some cow, but I keep waiting for them to open the season up on cow, and they just never do.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Down here where I live and where I grew up, I'm over here by Robinwood Lake in Gastonia. Now, I grew up over on Hoffman Road. In front of me was Suzanne Farms, and they had horses. And behind me was Don Rhodes Farm, which is now Colony Woods, it's now subdivision. And after Don Rhodes passed away, you know, they sold all that land. The family, you know, sold the land and made bukus there. And back then, you know, he had cows back there. Sometimes them cows would get up out of the fence, you know, break through the fence. They'd come up into my backyard. And it was nothing for me to, you know, grab some hay or something and feed the cows and then walk the cows back down to the lot or run up to Don's place when I was still a young fella and take his cow back to him. I'd tell him about his cow. When I got a little older, cows got to know me, I'd take him up there to him. They know who you are. The cows know who you are.
They're actually kind of hilarious.
Some old cows and all. We, to me and a couple of my buddies, we got about 100 head of cow right now. And the problem is we usually get them processed at least one or two cows a year, and you can't even get a process date to get a kill date to have them processed right now. Got everything shut down. So many people panicked and started getting these cows killed that they're booked anywhere from 14 months to 15 months out on all the processing places around, because it is ridiculous.
But I hadn't talked to them, and I don't know how this stuff has affected them. I really don't know.
Now, I'm saying most of the process is about 13 to 14 months out. You know, you can't get them processed anywhere local where I'm at.
That's retarded.
If you want to go and process a cow now, anyway, I'd do that during cold weather.
Fix and build our own freezer and or cooler, and I got a place to do deer, but I don't have a place to hang a big old cow. We're going to start doing it ourselves for too long.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I've skinned a snake before, and I've skinned a rabbit and a squirrel. I ain't never skinned a deer or a cow.
But, you know, since I was a little kid, that's one thing we had to do all the time. So, it's kind of... Nothing new for me, for sure.
I reckon it's the same, just bigger.
Standing trails together and Don't cut too deep because you don't want to cut the gut. Don't want no fecal contamination. On the other hand, I have gutted fish before. Just the ones around here, really. Of course, clean the cat. There's a couple ways to clean a catfish.
Play mine. A lot of people don't. I play about all my fish.
If I'd up against the gill, lob the head off, go down the center, gut it, descale it, or I'll descale it first and then cut the head off. Usually it's easier that way. Heck, I didn't clean one in years. I won't fish now, I just go to fish camp. That's how slack I've gotten. So I'll take my fillet knife, hold it up against the tail, and just go right down the spine, flip it over, do the same on the other side. I remember when I was a young man, we used to take fish heads that off his fishes, put firecrackers in them and blow them up. They were already dead, they didn't feel it.
And it was really nice to work you again. I enjoyed it so much. Maybe tomorrow night.
Is this repeater in Greenville?
Yeah, man. Caesar's Head.
All right. Let's see here. I want to do something before you do clear off of here. I'm going to grab my log. I know I've got you in here, but I want to get both of y'all's call signs as soon as I can get my pen out of my spiral notebook here and jot y'all down in my log real quick. Go ahead and call again. KW4TW.
Yeah, number 4, Whiskey Charlie Alpha.
November Whiskey Alpha, NWA.
Whiskey Charlie America.
For WCA. Got it.
Mine is Kilo Oscar 4, November, November Romeo.
Well, let's see here. WCA, it's good to hear you on the air again. And NNR, it's good to make a contact with you tonight. And fellas, it's great to hear both of you on the radio, and I've enjoyed you. I don't get to cut up on this thing very much.
Talking to y'all for sure. I'll be here all night, tomorrow night, or tonight, however you want to say it, because the sun's going to be up pretty soon, and be here Sunday night, too. So hopefully I hear y'all back on here and get talking to you. 73 this time, KO4 NNR.
Yeah, my stepson, he's moving to another apartment, and gonna be moving him today, so I'm already ready. I've done got my toe straps and bars ready, and I'm ready to go. I'm just waiting on them.
Luck with that, old man. And KO4 NNA or NNR. I'm sorry. 73 from KI4WCA and Michael in Gaston County. It's really, really nice to work you again. Hope to work you again soon.
Catch you later on. Be good, be careful, y'all. KW4TW, Michael Gaston, you're clear.